I'm ministering on something today, but because I really believe that the teaching that's coming forth today is going to really bring you into a place where you can, this scripture, I'm believing God for this scripture to be fulfilled in your ears. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. I mentioned it this morning, but we're going to get into the word in just a moment. But I mentioned this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in verse 11. Now, I am teaching now the soul. And the purpose why I'm teaching the soul is maturity. Growing up. Become spiritually responsible. That's where I am today. And I want you to get the word. I'm very hard on you in this teaching because I know why a lot of things happen to us. And when the Lord showed me that, I got to come give you the word. You don't reject the word. You got to spend time in the word, especially when it's been ministered to you. And then if you don't get the tape, do the CD, do the DVD. That's why we just saw over 25 people watching our television broadcast, families watching us and calling. There's a whole lot of more people watching us, you know, but they are saying, I'm watching you from these places to encourage others. That's what happened when you call in and say, I'm watching your television broadcast from wherever. You encourage other people to do it. A whole lot of people are doing it, but they don't want nobody to know who they are. It's all right. Just keep watching. Amen. The key, give them a big hand. Thank you very much. All right. Now, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13, 11. Just want to show you a scripture what the ministry is doing. This is where my prayers are for this body and all that listen to our broadcast. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. Whenever you get there, you're on. Whenever you're on, I'm moving to the next thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11 told us to do something. Paul says, when I was a child. Now, when the Bible says something, he's talking to the body of Christ. All right? Remember, the word of God here is ministered to the body of Christ. Okay? All right. When I was a child, he's talking about spiritual. He's talking about spiritual maturity. You know, that's why you never say a Christian is carnal. No, if a person is carnal, they're not saved. All right, that's Romans chapter 5, verse 6. When you're carnally minded, it's death. That means you're not saved. That means you're still in Adam, okay? But here, when I was a child, I spake as a child. See, that's the key. If you're still a child, you're going to talk like a child. You're going to speak like a child. That means you're only going to talk about childish things. But here he said, then you understood as a child. So it's not that you're just talking like a child. Your understanding will stay at the same place, and that as a child. See? Then he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. Then I thought as a child. All those areas is as a child. But when I became a man, that's where I want you to get to. When I became a man, now this is spiritual talk. When I became a man, guess what I did? I put away childish thing. Right. You the one got to put them away. Okay? This is maturity. This is growth. Now the things I'm talking about is in the soul. All right? It's in the mind. All right? I'm going to give you my subject first. And I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to look at one verse today, and that's verse 13. See, this morning I gave you a lot of scripture. I try to cut it short the next service so I can give you some extra stuff. So in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, just one verse. Now, we taught in Philippians the high calling of God. And we know that is eternal life. That's the ultimate. You just don't want to miss out on eternal life. All right? Now, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13 is where we're at. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Let's read it together. Brothers, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, he's talking about the stuff that Adam left in the house. Remember, when Christ came in you, let me get this done here. Let me read a verse. I'd be somewhere else. Brothers, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. Verse 14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, remember, what God saved the one, he said it all. So now here it is, God letting us know, what we need to do. Number one, I'm just dealing with you today, forgetting what is behind. Now, he's talking about forgetting those things which are behind. What are those things? I'm going to show you a few of them in Paul's life today. Now, let's go over to Philippians chapter 2, because where I left off, I want to pick up there. Let's back to Philippians chapter 2. So when God giving you Philippians chapter 2, he using Christ as an example of how he was highly honored. How did he get his reign and his rule and his authority? See, when God show you that, you the body of Christ, and we're going to show you how it happened. When I get to, when I'm going to read 1 through 5, then it's going to tell you something, what to do, and then it's going to go and show you where Christ was and who he was and is. But he did not act that way. Otherwise, he did not glorify the natural man. And that's what you got to understand. I gave you this morning two verses. I gave you Galatians 2:17. And I showed you that's how you know your earthly identity. Your identity is who you were by nature. I showed you that the Jew, Paul said, we Jews by nature. So people today, if they say that they are still a Jew by nature, if you say you're a Jew, that's by nature. You are saying that you're not in Christ. You are rejecting the new nature. See, if you're born of the Spirit, you can't say, I am a this no more. See, we have this month. And a lot of people look at me and say, I don't know why Pastor Crump, man, he never celebrates Black History Week. Listen, you can celebrate what you want, Pastor don't, because that's my past. See, we don't wanna live the Bible, we just wanna hear it. Listen, that's no good for me. When I hear what this book says, it's a green light for me, because this is how I live. So when the Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ, which I'm gonna get to Galatians 2:20, it's gonna be one of my teaching, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ. See, it's Christ who lives now. And if we ever learn it's Christ who lives in his house and not you, then you're going to submit yourself to the Father. See, when a person not saved, they will not submit to nobody. That's a fact. When you are not saved, you don't care who. You are not submitting to anybody. If anybody wants to get on your skin, try to get you to submit. Try to tell you what to do. I told you, we going there, this teacher. Because if I tell you what to do, you'll get mad with me. All right? All right. Now, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. That's where I am. Thank you very much. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, I'm showing you, this is what Paul is showing us. He's showing us how to get the authority. That's why I'm going to go back to Genesis 1:28. Genesis 9 and 1. Those are two things I'm going to show you again. And then I'll show you verse number 7 when I go to 9 and 1. Then I'm going to take you to Galatians. I gave you one verse, verse 2 and 17. I want to go back to that in Galatians 3 and 28. Then I'm on my way. We're talking about forgetting what is behind. That is today's teaching. Now, we got a long ways to go. I could teach this a long time. I don't know what God going to do. All right, now Philippians chapter 2, if we're there on the screen. Verse number 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. There we go. If there be therefore any consolation. There are four ifs here. And he's saying, look, if this is going to be in your life, this is what you got to do. That's all he's saying. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if you're ever going to walk in the Spirit, walk in love, if there's going to be any fellowship with the Spirit. See, this is why people can't fellowship. They don't realize it. When the service is over at the first service, we go on the other side of the fellowship. Now, everybody's going over there. People don't want to go over there. They're string along, you know, string drag. So by the time they get there, it's over. Because they don't want a fellowship. You just want to come to church and just be who you want to be. Listen, you come to do things. And one of them is fellowship. Fellowship of the Spirit. Listen, we don't see you but once a week. We're your family, spiritually family. And people still don't want a fellowship. You know why people not loving in the church? See, I'm going to talk on love. You know why people don't love in the church? They don't fellowship. You notice that the people you love is the one you fellowship with. People you call are always talking to you. Yeah, that's my dog, man. I don't talk that kind of talk. But that's how folks talk. Why? Because that's who they fellowship with. If you fellowship with people that don't go to church, think about it. You don't even fellowship with people who go to church. See, so you gotta begin to wonder why you like to be with folks who don't go to church. All right, watch this. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be what? Like-minded. Watch what he tells you. You're going to have to be like-minded. What he's talking about? Christ-minded. You got to be Christ-minded. The same love that Christ has. See, I'm going to be de-teaching on that because you cannot love. I just want to drop that out there. You can't love if love not in you. If God's love not in you, you can't love nobody. See, you just watch people. They can't love. To love somebody means to give yourself over to them. Not for who you are, but to make them who they are. See, most people can't love. See, it's not about you. Love is not about you. That's why you have two words. You have love and faith. Love is for me. Faith is for God. So if you don't love me, you probably do not use your faith towards God or for God. So he says, watch what he says in verse 2. Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Now he's talking about with the Christ that's in you. See, the Christ in you wants to love people, but you don't want to love. You won't let the love go past. Everything the Father going to do out of you have to go through your mind. So when you don't have the mind of Christ, not that you don't have it, you won't let it operate. That makes you quench the Spirit or grieve the Spirit. Because the Spirit in you wants to love people. God is love. So how are you going to have love in you and you can't love? If love is in you, you got to love or you'll grieve the Spirit or quench the Spirit. And there are times the Spirit of God will tell you to say something to somebody, whatever, you won't do it. You grieve the Spirit. You quench the Spirit. All right. All right. Now, here we go. In verse number 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Watch that. Let each one of us esteem others better than ourselves. That's love. You got to esteem others better than yourself. Then in verse number 4, look not on the things of others. Oh, that's what it says? He said, look not on your own thing, but every man at the things of others. If that's how you live your life, put others before you. If you don't love, you put you before them. That's how people who don't love. All right? Now we get to verse 5. Let's read it together. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, he's talking about let it be here. So you got to be able to see what I'm saying. Christ is in your heart, in you. But he cannot get out to others except you let him. He got to get through your mind. Now, let's go and see something first. Let me show you something. I gave you these verses. Genesis 1, 28. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Just one verse. This is what God told Adam. Read. And God blessed him. Them. And God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. He said to them. Well, once God took Eve out of Adam, and then if they was not one, let them have, they couldn't have dominion no more. Because once they was taken out and they did not walk, be like-minded, one accord, walk in the same love, same spirit, that's what we are in the body, see? We are now members of the same body. So if we don't walk in love in one, it keeps God from doing what he want to do in the church. Because he can't do it unless there's unity. You see? All right. Now, Philippians chapter 2 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So Paul is talking to the church. Now, watch what he said to the church at Philippi in verse number 6. Read it. Who being in the form of, now he's talking about who God is. Jesus came here in the form of God. See, we are created in God's image and God's likeness. So he's telling us how to live. He said, let who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So we are not trying to be equal with God. And then not only that, he said, not only that, he made himself of no reputation. See, that's what he's trying to tell you. You can't be around here with no reputation. See, that's why we don't do that here. We all the same here. No, we don't have no superstars. All right. Being he made himself of no reputation. Watch what he did. He took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of the men. Watch what the next verse says. Being found in fashion as a man, what did he do? That's what God, see, until Christ get in you, you will not humble yourself. Now, this is what happened. Once people get Christ in them and they still won't humble themselves, God will do it. See, that's why people go through so much. God just wants humility. Because he cannot minister through you until you are humble. Why? That's why the Bible says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. He cannot exalt you until you humble yourself. You are not a humble people if you cannot take instructions. People who are not humble, you cannot tell them what to do. Who is this trying to tell me who to do? All right. Now watch Christ. Watch what he said about Christ in verse number 7. Made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, a form of a servant as a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. Now here we're talking about God himself. And being in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Then the Bible said, because of that now, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, things in the heaven and things in the earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Why? Because he humbled himself. That's how he got what he got. To get back what Adam lost, he had to come as a man and humble himself so we could get the authority back, so we can have it. Now he has it back. Now he's in us. Now our souls, our mind, our woman got to humble themselves to the man. The man is Christ Jesus in you. The problem we had in Genesis is the woman did not submit herself to the man. She did it as long as she was in the man. So God recreated us and put us back in Christ. Now we must submit ourselves to the man again. I gave you 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. So God reconciled us. He brought us back to Christ. He put us back in Christ. Now Christ is back in the house. Two things had to happen. Creation is God created us in Christ. That's creation. But you cannot get in Christ in you unless you believe the gospel. You got to submit yourself to the gospel of Christ before Christ will live in your house again. See, that's what happened with Eve. Why you think they never ate of the tree of life? Because she disobeyed God. And when the woman disobeyed God, they got put out the garden. They could not eat of the tree of life. See, the tree of life is Christ in you. Once you believe the gospel, Ephesians 3:6, you receive the promise of the Spirit. That means that Christ comes back to live in your house. And until you believe God again, his death, burial, and resurrection, believing that, he will not come and live in your house. Now, why do God want us to believe 1 Corinthians 15, his death, burial, and resurrection? Because he has to have the blood. The high priest would not enter to the temple, if you go read the Old Testament, without the shedding of blood. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So Christ, when he came in your house, he came in your house because you believe. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Death means on the cross where he shed his blood. Do you understand? That's why you just can't believe something else. All right? Because Christ is not going to come to the house until the house is sanctified, and he take the blood and the spirit to do it. All right. Now, with all that in mind, let's go to the next thing on our agenda. I'm not here to go through all these other things I talked about. I want to get down to some serious business. Okay, let's clean up the stuff I got. What I told you I'm giving. Nobody got a note. All right, let's start at Galatians 2:17. I gave you Genesis 1:28. I gave you Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. I gave you Genesis chapter 9, verse 7. I gave you Galatians chapter 2, verse... So I don't be asking you, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. I'm asking you to see that you write it down. I'm going to teach you. You the woman, I'm the pastor. I'm the man, you the woman. Get it? And my job is to teach you what the Lord gave me for you. And if the woman never grows, the woman never changes, she'll never get what God has for their life. See, some people are okay, and I'm not here to put nobody down. But I'm trying to tell you where your past is. When you get so you don't dream no more. When you get so you don't think you can advance anymore, grow no more. I told you this morning, when I heard this, and I'm not trying to put people down because this was said to me, the church I went to, he said it all the time. I'm Baptist born, I'm Baptist bred, I'll be a Baptist till I'm dead. When you say something like that, you are saying, I'm where I want to be, leave me alone, I'm comfortable right here. It's just like, and I told you this before, not a put down. Well, when I first came to this church, when I first came to this city 55 years ago, if I knew what I knew now, I would be a wealthy man physically because I would have bought me a house over there on Telegraph on the lake. My wife and I, we were going to build us a new home. We said, let's go over there on JMK and see how much we can get us a house over here for. A little old house on the lake. The woman said, that one's on sale. I said, oh, my God, we can get something. We may be building a new because I want to be on the lake. The woman said, well, it's on sale. I said, how much is it? Well, right now it's like 900 and some thousand. I said, what? Right, honey? He said, well, we just reduced the price. I said, ma'am, do you realize I can't even get my furniture in that room? So my wife got them tall bed with them poles like that. You can't even get that in the room. I said, ma'am. She said, that's what is on sale. Listen, it's the property. It's not the house. It's the property. So you got to understand how it is when you buy some places. It's not going to be the house. It's going to be the land you want. So you got to understand something. That's why I said, if I had known, I would have bought over there 55 years ago. But I didn't know. So I went with my norm. I'm from Mississippi. We had 3-bedroom in the whole house. Walk out the back, that hog pen, everything. We tore it out back. We didn't have all that stuff down there. But my point was, if I don't change my mind, that's what I look for when I come to Michigan. If God never changed your mind, you will never go forward. See, it was a guy came over here and we started building this church. And God showed me what to do. I don't take no glory for this. But a guy came to this church one day, we was building, he says, where are you going to build the church at? All this land, you don't need all of this. I said, man, I need all this and more. See, he didn't see what I saw. And there are people like, well, that's what, you're going to build that bigger church over there? That's what the guy said. I said, yeah. I need some more land. That's why we started buying land all around us here. Because when God shows you something, it's what he wants you to do. And always when God tells you to do something, it's bigger than you. The God that's in you is bigger than you. He just wants somebody to believe. That's all he wanted from me, is to believe. And a lot of people can't believe. They can't go forward because they can't believe that far. If you wait to see your paycheck, you will never make it. That's what people are doing. Wait, let me see. Let me see, can I afford to do that? No. See, your check is telling you you can't. You need to look on the inside. Not at your paycheck. Your paycheck will never tell you what you can do. But your God can. That's why I started off, said, take the limit of God. The Bible said, unto now to him that's able to do exceeding abundant above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. And it's God that worketh in me, both the will and the do of his good pleasure. So you got to understand something. How much do you believe God? See, God will increase you as you increase here. That's why most people won't grow. And they don't realize why God can't take them no further. All right, let's move on. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Somebody said, but we have the mind of Christ. Yeah. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I got the next half hour. I got to really get this done. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 14. Because I want to show you that you already have the mind of Christ. It's not like you got to get it. You already got it. That's why I read to you, Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Your mind is the woman, spiritually speaking. And Christ in you has all the power. Christ is the power of God. Christ is the wisdom of God already in you. But he can't do nothing unless you believe. The woman have to hear God's word and believe it. And then now God will work outside of her with her body, reign over her body, reign over her job, reign over her town, or anywhere God can reign. But he can't do it. He got to do it through you. We are the body of Christ. Amen. See, we want God to do something, but he don't want him to do it through you. We want to believe God for something, but not don't do it through me. I believe you for it. Why can't you believe he do it through you? He can't do it through you unless you believe. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14. Now, we're going to start there. Let's read together. But that's what I need you to do. Read. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. So if your mind does not have the Spirit, you cannot receive the word. If I give you the word, I'm going to offend you. Because your heart do not have the word, don't have the Spirit in it. See, when you go tell somebody that's carnal minded, don't want God, something about the word, they get offended. Don't be talking to me about no word. See, why? Because they get offended. But if you got the Spirit in you, you will receive the word. Whatever you did, you cut it off and cut it back on, cut it off, cut it back on. Find somewhere else. Verse number 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are, watch this, foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually understood. Whatever God wants to show you, they are spiritually understood. So if your mind is not spiritual, you can't understand it. That's where I want to take you to the spiritual mind. See, that's Romans 5 and 6. I'm going to show it to you in a minute. Write that down. In verse number 15, but he that is spiritual, talking about mind, he that is spiritual minded, judges all things, yet he himself is just and no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord? God called a spiritual mind the mind of the Lord. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind. See, if you read, you will say it to yourself. But I can't keep going and asking you to read. Somewhere down the line, you got to understand, this is not a movie. I'm here as the man of this house, representing Christ, to get the woman to read. so she can renew her mind, so she can obey her Lord. That's all I can do. I can tell you what I'm up to, but I can't make it happen. All right. All right. Now, see, you the one got to read his word. The word is to you. I'm the man who served the Lord bringing the word to his woman. That's all I can do. Let's move on. Now, let's go to something I got to do. I got to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So I want to get to a place to show you what we have to do that. Because my message is forgetting the things that are behind. Today we want to make sure we get things pulled down. So let me show you what Paul did. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, we're going to start reading with verse number 8. Well, I'm a bag of the verse 4. We go to 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to start reading with verse 3. Let's back into verse 3. This is why Paul wrote this. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. Are you there? Are we having problems, difficulties? Verse number 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, do we war after the flesh?" Read it again. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Now, watch what he say he has to do. In verse number 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal." The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what? They are mighty through God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. What are the weapons? See, you're saying the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what is it? What are your weapons? You ain't got but one weapon. No. Don't mess it up. Hold on. Let me show you your weapon, okay? Hold on right here. Let's go to Hebrews 4:12. Let's see your weapon. If God told him to open the eyes of the blind, that's, remember back then, Acts 26:18? I know it's a habit. You're going to break it, but it's a habit. All right, Acts 26:18. This is what God told Paul. "Open the eyes of the blind, turn them from darkness to light, turn them from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that's in me." What is your weapon? Now I can see why y'all ain't getting nothing done. Wait a minute, listen. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. All right, wait a minute. But they are mighty through God. It told you. Wait a minute. Let's move on. Let's go to Hebrew. Now, let's do something before we get to Hebrew. I gave you two verses. I gave you 1 Timothy 2:15. Let's do that first, then Hebrew. If you got notes, that's in your note. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 15. And let's start back at verse 11. 1 Timothy 2:11. Now, we're going to show you that the woman was a seed. It wasn't a man. God already told Adam this before Adam took Eve out of Adam. So Adam disobeyed God because she didn't believe the word. That's why you get deceived. You're deceived because you don't believe the word. So when somebody else come and tell you something else, you believe that, what they say. And then when somebody else come and tell you something different, you believe what they say. You don't know what you're supposed to be believing. So I'm going to take you back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So you need to write this down. I'm telling you where I'm going to take you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So when I come back and ask you where I'm going to take you, I don't know. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 through verse 7. We're going to take you back there. All right, now let's go to work. Here we are. We're in 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:11. All right, let's read it. "Let the woman do what?" Why do he say that? Why you think I always tell you, listen, I'm not just telling you because I'm Pastor Crump, a mean man. You cannot talk and learn. Any school you go to. When you go to a school, what do? When the teacher teaching? You listen. If you talk while the teacher talking, you never learn nothing. You got not only hear me, you got to hear Christ in you tell you what to do. Verse 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Verse 2. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to use authority over the man. Now, he's not talking about a physical woman, is he? Well, who is he talking about? Your mind. Just said the mind. Because soul has different compartments. Mind. Because you have the mind, your soul, your will, your heart, your emotion, your sense. All that's in the soul. So you got to set a mind. Okay? That is the seat of authority. I told you that before. Your mind is what? It's the seat of all authority in you. That's why Christ said, let this mind, because he'll be able to sit on the seat of authority. But guess, if I can't tell you what to do, guess who's sitting on the seat of authority? You. That's what happened. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to use authority over the man. He's talking about inside, but to be inside again. Verse 13, for Adam was not first form, but Eve. Now, he's talking about the soul, and he's talking about the heart. See, Adam is soul. Eve is soul in soul. That means your heart, will, emotions are all in the soul. But God took Eve out of Adam. Do you understand? Yes, Lord. In verse number 14, watch this. Adam was not deceived. But the woman, the mind, the woman was deceived, being in transgression. The enemy deceived the woman. Remember, he already came to Adam before, but he couldn't get Adam. But when Eve came out of Adam, here he come. And then he told her what God said, and he lied to her. And she believed it. She believed a lie. That's how she got in the mess. Well, how's God going to get out of the mess? What's the opposite of believing a lie? You got to believe the truth. And the gospel of Christ, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is the truth. That's how you'll be saved. All right? Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity. And that didn't happen. He's talking about the woman being saved. All right? Otherwise, she had to be born. She had to born her Savior. That's what the woman had to do. The woman had to born her Savior. The Bible said, Galatians 3 and 4, she was born of a woman. Christ was born of a woman. She had to born her own Savior that would save her. That's a whole nother teaching. All right. Now, let's move on. What I gave you, that tree we're going to go to. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 through 7. Just want to show you something. Why she was not saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is what I start telling you this morning. Verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. All right. Read. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So when people do not get saved, they're lost. All right, now watch how I say. See, God is not saving the soul. God put his spirit in you so he can reprogram the soul. He died on the cross and saved all souls. So in a new covenant, he's not trying to get your soul saved. You got people like, we saving souls over here. No, you ain't. Souls were saved at the cross. So stop telling people trying to get your soul saved. You ain't getting their soul saved. You need to get it educated. My people in the old covenant were destroyed. One reason was lack of knowledge. Christ came and died for all souls. Go back and look at it. That's why it's all souls are mine. He came and died for all souls. But now he got to put Christ, the soul got to be willing to receive Christ in their hearts. Everything the soul gets, he must receive it. You receive Christ in the heart, then Christ will come in and connect to your soul and teach your soul. Your soul is not educated. That's all it is. delivered them from the power of Satan, ignorance. Turned them from darkness to light, ignorance. That's the problem with the soul. The soul always thinks somebody's trying to do something to them, trying to hate them, trying to hurt them, like they was in the old covenant. I'm your pastor. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. I want you to get this because I know what changed my life. Amen. All right, let's move on. In verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid for them that are lost. How did they get lost? In whom the God of this world did what? Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Chapter 2 and verse 17. Let me show you. No, let's go to chapter 3 first. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Chapter 3 first, verse 14. Just one verse. Then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 2, 17 while we're there. All right. 2 Corinthians 2, 14. Read. 2 Corinthians 3, 14. Thank you. But their minds were blinded. How? The God of this world, remember that? So that's why they go together. The God of this world blinded their mind. What is the God of this world? If you take the word God and make it the word spirit, because that's what God is, spirit. So, but he's not talking about the almighty God. He's talking about the God of this world. The God of this world is the spirit of this world. The spirit of this world is religion. You have to know what the spirit of the world is. The spirit of this world is called religion. People use religion, and religion is only, what religion is the corrupted word. What's religion? It's the corrupted word. Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you put good and evil on the same tree, what it makes it? It corrupts it. Have you ever went to a tree and it had fruit, what stuff was in the fruit? I won't name it. It's corrupted, right? How you think it got corrupted? It got corrupted by the man who sits here. If the vessel is not clean, the word will be corrupted. You only get the corrupted word out of unsaved minds. That's why you don't let anybody minister to you who's not clean. Their heart's not clean and you know it. Their lifestyle ain't clean. And there you eating. You eating the corrupted word. And the hearts keep rolling. All right, look at 2 Corinthians 3 and verse number 14 one more time. But their minds were what? Blinded. Remember what Paul had to do? Open the eyes of the blind. They know their mind was blinded. And it took the law. If you read that, it'll tell you they were blinded by the law. All right, now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. Watch what Paul says. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. We are not, read it. We are not as many which do what? Man who stands here that minister to you that don't have the spirit of Christ in their heart and don't have a pure conscience, they corrupt the word. See, that's what Titus told us. I'm going to get to it. You can find it for me. Even their hearts are conscious or not clean. It told you in Titus. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity. But as of God. We are as of God. We are as of God. In the sight of God, speak we as Christ. See, if you're not one with Christ, your word will be corrupted. You got to be one with the word of Christ. If not, you will corrupt it. Now let me show you what that means. Go to Hebrews 3:12, and then we're going to go to Proverbs 3. Write these two down. Go to Hebrews 3:12, then go to Proverbs 3, 6 to 8. While we're in Hebrew, we're going to do the verse we were supposed to do, and that's Hebrews 4, 12. I gave you that earlier. We never went to it. Let's go first to Hebrews 3:12, then to Proverbs 3, 6 to 8, and then Hebrews 4, 12. That's what you should have. All right, I'm on my way to Hebrew. Hebrew chapter 3 and verse 12. When you find Titus for me, even their heart, mind, conscience was defiled, is the word you were looking for. even their conscience will defile. So when somebody's heart, I'm gonna give you one of them here. So you got to know what you're going when you go sit up in a church. You got to understand that person that's speaking to you can sound good. But if their heart is not right, their word they speak it is corrupted. Put it down. Titus 1:16. Put that down on my note. We at Hebrew 3:12, right? All right. I'm going to write that down on my note. Titus. Titus 1:16. Titus 1:5. Can't say it like that because that'll be a number before the week is out. I'm just telling you what people's minds are. I know what mine was. I don't want yours there. Because the first thing said, girl, I'm boxing that. I used to be there, you know what I mean? All right, here we go. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Are you there on the screen? There we go. Now read. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you. I'm just seeing if anybody reading. Do y'all know how to read in this church? I'm about to get some mics and just hang them all across it. All right, read. Take heed. He's telling you to take heed. I know this was to Hebrew, but he told those Hebrew, look, you about to take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, an evil heart of what? Unbelief. If that man has an evil heart of unbelief, he's going to corrupt the word of God. If he got an evil conscience, evil heart, he can only corrupt the word of God. The word of God is pure that goes in him, out the book. But once he goes through his mind to you, he corrupted it. All right? He's an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, because that's what's going to cause you to do. If you sit in a ministry where a pastor has an evil heart, evil conscience, his heart is not pure, you won't stay in church long. Because you don't want the word. And if you, especially when you want the word, you won't be there long. All right. Now, I gave you another verse. Hebrews 4:12. That's why I say I do while I'm there. Going to show you how to rightly divide the word and show you what the word does when you hear it. The word of God ministers to your whole Trinity. That's why the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You know what it is, the word. I just told you now. All right. Verse 12. The word of God is what? That word quick means what? Alive. It's alive. The word of God is alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. What does the word of God do? Piercing even to what? What does the word of God do? He's telling you right here. It dividing asunder. The word of God divides asunder what? The word of God ministers to you in your soul, ministers to you in your spirit, ministers to you in your body. See, the word of God ministers to you in three areas. Your soul, your spirit, and your body. That's the joints and the marrow. You know that's the body, right? See, that's why the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, the word of God. So if I go to Ephesians chapter 6, it'll tell you all in there what the word of God is. Put on the whole armor of God. Don't ever forget that. When somebody asks you what the weapons. After all that, it's going to tell you and taking the word of God, which is the sword of the spirit. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's the word. I'm going to go to Ephesians 6 after you do all of this first. Go where I am right now. I just gave you rightly divide. I gave you 2 Timothy 2:15. And then I gave you Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number, 4 and 12. But the word of God does not only do with your soul and your spirit. It names some other stuff at the back and the bottom. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it goes all in the soul. It ministers to all the soul man. And also the spirit man. And also the body. The word of God goes to all. So you, if you want God to help you, you're going to need the word. He can't help you until you get the word. You got to fall in love with the word. Your soul got to fall in love with the word. That's Christ in you. It's a love affair. And until your soul loves the Christ in you, you don't get none no more. He's not going to force himself to come up to the mind. You're going to have to come down humble yourself. And the Spirit of God, Christ in you, will minister to your mind, to others. Why people can't never get nobody saved? Why nobody never believe you? You answer that one. I won't bother that. Where I'm going next? Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse. See, this is what you got to understand. This is just a second tape. I haven't started. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6 to 8, right? Am I in Proverbs chapter 3? All right, let's start at verse 6. Are you there? All right. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall what? All right. That's not what I want. Proverbs 23. I said 3. I'm sorry. See, when you rewrite stuff, you miss stuff. Let me see. Proverbs 23. See, my brother will be with me in the morning. He know what I meant. Proverbs chapter number 23. Okay, let's write that down. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 6 to 8. Nah. Are you there? Come your camera, sir. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 6. Are you there? On the screen. Eat thou not bread of him that has an evil eye. What did I just tell you about the person in Hebrew? What did he have? I know, but what is it called here? An evil eye is what? It's an evil heart. See, when you eat the word from a person who have an evil heart, you get corrupted. And that's why so many church folk don't grow and they don't realize they get the word over here, then they go somewhere and eat on a person who got an evil heart. Let me show you what happened to all the words you got from me. For thou eat thou not the bread of him that has an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. You don't want his word. He make it all sound good. Slap somebody and tell them. Where in the world people getting that from? All right. For as he thinketh, watch what happened. As he thinketh where? Watch this. This is awesome. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, if his heart is corrupt, you eating from that heart, you eating from that tree, and it's corrupted. The same thing happened to Eve. That's what happened to Eve. God told her only eat of the tree of life. You got to choose life. That's why there's so many churches in the city. There's 100, over 100 churches in Pontiac. You got to choose the tree of life. You got to go. That's why you go visit. I remember my sister right here mentioned when they came here, the Wades. It's okay. They had came here to check it out. She told her husband, oh, yeah, that's it. We already been over there. He said, I went over there and checked it out. I already been over there and checked it out. That's where we going. And they still here. How long you been here now? Double figures pretty much, isn't it? Over 10 years. Close, isn't it? But they just came here to check it out. And that's how so many people get here. The word. When you're looking for the word, you got to make sure the vessel is clean. Because if I'm corrupted, my heart corrupted, the word is good. But it corrupted when you get it. If you take a dirty vessel and fill it with dirt, pour clean water in it. I'm the vessel. The water was clean when I got it. But by the time I poured in here and handed it to you, can't you see that? That's why you don't sit under somebody who's corrupted. And people know they're corrupted. Man, I tell you, I'm corrupted. I ain't going nowhere. That's my church. Don't realize what's going on. Death is in the pot. Death is in the vessel. Because that makes the person carnal. And my Bible told me in Romans 5:6 to be carnal in mind is death. If I minister to you out of the spirit of Adam, you would die. I can have the Holy Spirit in me. If I got the mind of Adam, you're going to die anyway. Because I never renewed my mind. What I minister on must be here. Must be here before I minister. If I minister you Christ and I don't have a pure mind, you're going to be corrupted anyway. Because you're drinking out of an unclean vessel. So you got to understand, this thing is real. As a man thinking in his heart, so is he. And watch what he says. The morsel which thou hast eaten, thou shalt vomit it up and lose thy sweet word. The word you got over with crump, you're going to lose that too. See, that's what happened. People come get the word. They go somewhere else, get some word. They make them vomit it all up. They start all over again. Girl, you were doing so good. You was in church living for the Lord. And all of a sudden, why you ain't go to church no more? See, now you got to start all over. It ain't worth it. All right. Now, let's go finish what I gave you. You know about again? Titus 1:15. Come on, give me something here. Then we're going to go Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to tell you what we're going to start next week. Titus chapter 1, verse 15, 16. Ain't nobody won't say nothing. Praise the Lord. Just give me 5 minutes. You know how God can talk to me? You know why God talked to me so much? One reason. I listened. You got to become a listener. You can't hear the voice of the Lord if you do not train yourself to become a listener. If you ask my wife how much time, and don't say nothing smart over there. How much time you think I spend in the Word a day? Come on, just give me one. I'm on tape. I'm on, you know. My wife know. When I go in my place and get the word, that's why I'm going to have, what, Derek? Derek going to build me a new office at my home. Because I'm a word addict. Amen. See, you ought to be glad because everything I get is yours. He's going to build me a new office. See, because I got to have this. My heart is pulling for him. I have to have, right now I have to come up here. I did a eulogy yesterday, his dad. And my wife would tell you, after that we went out and gave out pork chops. Want to give out some? But anyway, after that, I was here till dark, pretty much late. Then I got to be back here in the morning time, 5 o'clock. Because this word, man. That's what I got for you. I got that word for you. Listen, if you don't get, you gonna get that word, you got to give God some time, boy. And that's what I want. I want to spend the rest of my life making sure you don't like anything. If the Lord take me home in my 90s, 100 hour, I would. It's gonna have to be after 100 because I ain't going nowhere. I already told you, I ain't going nowhere until after 100. Don't bother me until after I'm 100. But I want to make sure that nobody deceive you. That you got the word, you can go right down there and get that word. See, that's what I want for you. I want to leave you an inheritance, and it's called the word. And it's called the word. I want to leave you a church that's paid for. And the word. If you can't make it from there, I can't do no good. All right. Titus 1. I got 3 minutes. I won't go no further than that. Titus chapter 1, verse number 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. If the heart is not pure, the word you get ain't pure. That's an awesome thing. See, that's what happened in ministry. Your heart you got to keep your heart pure. You can't have any animosity. Folks you don't love. Speaking to evil people. You can't have none of that when you do the word. See, there's some people that come to this church don't come because they think something is spoken against Pastor Crump. Listen, I can't do this if my heart ain't pure. You should know that by now. God do not use you and give you the word if your heart ain't pure. You get a sermon, you get a hit, clap somebody, give them a high five. But God don't give you the revelation of the word unless the heart is pure. All right. Now here it is, Titus 1:15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled, if their hearts are defiled, they are unbelieving, and nothing is pure. You got to understand, if your heart is not pure, the words you minister is not pure. My wife will tell you something. I don't care what we go through. I got to make up before the night. Let not the sun go down your wrath. You can't come in here angry and get up here and minister the word. You can't do that. The Spirit of God do not put up with that. When you have a problem, you heirs together of the grace of life. My wife and I, my mind and my heart are heirs together of the grace of life. I cannot be angry with her and minister the word. You got to understand how that works. You got to be quick to forgive. Love is not something you choose. Love is a command. He commanded you to love. It's not a choice. You don't do this when you want to. Feel like it. Watch what it said. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, there's nothing come out of them that's pure. But even their minds and their conscience is also defiled. That word defiled means corrupted. You got to understand, when that happens, you corrupt the word of God. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. You got to make sure. What else I say? I'm going to stop it. I'm done. Jeremiah 1:10. We'll do that. That's where we're going to start, because we have some work to do in here next week. This two tapes you get right now is prepping you for Jeremiah 1:10. What God told Jeremiah to do is what God told Adam to do. Told Adam to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. And I'm going to show you my assignment in Jeremiah, because this is what Christ came to do. This is what the Apostle Paul began to do. Jesus Christ began. That's why the book of Acts chapter 1, and all that Jesus began to do. That's why he began. Because that's why we have to come along. It's a race. Jeremiah 1 and verse 9 and 10. Watch what God said to Jeremiah. Then the Lord put forth his hands and touched my mouth. That's what I'm telling you. That's what happened to me. And the Lord said, behold, I have put my word in thy mouth. Matter of fact, that happened to me before I started pastoring. I'm talking about actually just like that, the hand on the mouth. So much I could tell you, but I don't want to bring you to a place where you're afraid of me or you think I'm lying to you. That's not me. If I can tell you some things in here spiritually, but that's not my job. It's between me and God. Okay? But this happened to me. This happened to me. There have been many times I'll be laying on my back, I can, the Spirit of God just blow down my mouth and nose. I just hold my hand up because I already know what he's doing. Everything he does is spirit. He's making sure that the anointing is in my mouth. I already know what he's doing. The Christ that lives in me is the anointing. I'm not here to try to please nobody and that kind of stuff. I could tell you a whole lot of stuff, but that's not my job. I put my words in your mouth. See, that's what happened. The word of the Lord come to you. I don't go ask God what I'm going to minister on. The word of the Lord come to you. John the Baptist was in the wilderness getting ready to baptize. The Bible said 400 years has passed. Jeremiah was in the wilderness, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, well, how do you think that happened? The Spirit of the Lord came to Jeremiah and told him what to do. That's my assignment. That's how I get my assignment, my message every week. You can't have a corrupt heart, an evil conscience, and all this stuff, and that's going to happen to you. Verse number 10. See, I have this day. This is the same thing that happened with Genesis 1:28. Why Adam and Eve couldn't reign. This is why people can't reign. That's my assignment. This is my assignment. That's why I start you off, and I didn't get to it today. I'm going to get to it next week. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. That's why I want you to know what they are. To the pulling down, here's what the word does. The word of God pulls down every high thing, every imagination, Every thought, it pulls it down. Everything that the old man had left in your house is coming down. If you will stay under this word that I got for you. And let me tell you what's going to happen after he pulled it down. Now, I'm going through the same thing with me. That's why I'm ministering to you. He's going to cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against God's word, that don't want God's word. He's going to pull it down, throw it down. Listen to what he's doing. This is no game. He's making sure this stuff is destroyed. See, you don't know where I'm going. I'm going to a place where we're going to bury your old man. I'm telling you, we're going there. And I'm telling you right now, we're going to bury it. You're going to know where he buried it. I died. I'm going to go to Galatians 2:20. I'm going to show you died. Then I'm going to show you we're going to bury that old man. You're going to know where we buried it. When I was at Door of Faith Christian Church one Sunday morning, God buried my old man. And my old man ain't been no problem. We know me no more since. The new man going to come forth. See, you're going to understand. See, we look at this Bible, and the Bible says how Christ came back physically, naturally, and then he came into the house, and he destroyed the old man with the brightness, destroyed with the brightness of his coming. That's what's going to happen to your old man. The revelation of the word going to come in your heart, going to destroy that man. You're going to burn up all that stuff in your conscience. Tell you, it's coming. He's coming. I'm telling you, you're going to be able to understand the resurrected Christ. See, you just think, no. Oh, yeah, he resurrected. But you have not seen him come forth in the fire. You have not seen him come forth in the brightness. You have not seen it. And he's going to come in your house, and he's going to show you. Right now, all this stuff come out of you. You're going to see the brightness of the Lord. You're going to feel the holiness. Man, I can't go nowhere. Listen. When we get all this stuff out the house, you're going to know the Holy Ghost is here. See, that's what happened in the beginning of the church. That's why they said Holy Ghost. Because when the Holy Ghost came in, he came in like fire. He came in by the Spirit, and he came in with burning. And I'm telling you right now, people can't feel the presence of the Lord no more. Too much stuff in the house. That's why Jesus taught that in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. That's what he taught it for. And he said what happened is that the word comes in the house. There's so much junk in the house that the word can't prosper and can't be fruitful. So that's what I'm doing. I'm cleansing the house. That's what the word doing. And I'm talking about the mind. All this stuff left from Adam. From the Adam family. All that stuff. I got to do Jeremiah 1:10 because I said I'm going to do that. I don't want the Lord tell me you got there and didn't do it. But I'm just doing it to show you. This is what we're doing. Five things. Maybe six has to happen. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10, we're done. Jeremiah chapter 1. You can stand up when you find about it. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. See, I have this day set you over the nation. Now, this is what God did by the Holy Ghost. When he put the Spirit in you, he set the Holy Ghost over you. And the Holy Ghost is supposed to rule and reign in your life. That's why the Bible told you when you get to Romans chapter 5, grace reigns through righteousness. Romans 4:16. You have to have faith, grace in you, faith in your conscience before God can reign in you. That's what we're going to show you. So when you read Romans 4:16, grace reigns through righteousness. Really what he's saying, you got to have faith in a righteous conscience before grace can reign through you. Adam and Eve lost this. That's why when you go back and look at the Genesis 1:28, you're only going to see all five. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. You go to Galatians chapter 9, verse 1 and verse 7, you're only going to see three. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. You're not going to see the other two, subdue it, and have dominion, because they can't. Once she obeyed Satan, she lost dominion. Christ had to come back and obey the Father, even to death, to give us dominion back. That's Philippians chapter 2. How God had now highly exalted him. Why was he doing that? Not for himself. You read the book of Ephesians, when we go back, I'm going to show you. He said that it might known to the church, the manifold wisdom of God. He did all that to get that back to us. So we can have power and authority over an earthly body. That is what you're supposed to rule and reign over, but you can't do it until you cast down all the old things. That's why I'm going to say it this way. It's a haunted house. It's where Adam used to live. See, that's what the mind is. It's a haunted house. It's where Adam used to live. So you got to get all the cobwebs out of there. You got to get all those places where the spirits used to live. You got to get all that stuff got to come down. You got to get all that lust out of there and all that fleshly stuff out of your mind. It got to come down. That's what Christ is in you for. Taking over the house. That's why when the Spirit of God moves, most people can't feel him because you got too much of that stuff in you. Feelings come through the soul. Jeremiah, see, I have set you this day over the nations, over the kingdoms. Here's your number one thing you got to do. You got to root out that stuff that's left over from Adam. You got to pull down that stuff that left over from Adam. You got to destroy that old stuff that Adam left. You got to throw it down. Don't play with it. Throw it down. Now, you can build, you can plant. See, what we're trying to do, we're trying to build and plant. I'm here trying to build and plant. God said you can't build nothing and plant. You got to get that stuff out their mind. You got to get that word in there with some power and get the mind clean out so I can move in them houses. Now give him some praise and some glory in his house. You got to come to a place where the Father in you and your soul is in love again. Because you cannot reign and rule by yourself. He can't reign and rule by himself in you. He must have your soul. Your mind, your heirs together of the grace of life. The woman and the man must reign in the house together. Give the Lord a great big hand. I'm telling you right now, if you do like I tell you, you will be able to speak to the mountain. That's why them folks try to speak to the mountain. You can't speak in no mountain until you do that. He's not talking about no mountain, not no woods. He's talking about them high places in your heart. When God showed me this, he showed me how to be healed. He showed me how to do it. He said, when you do what I tell you, you get your authority back. And the authority you're going to have is over your flesh. You out here trying to bind, Pope trying to bind, and bind. You ain't trying to bind them devils. You talking about here. You trying to bind a devil out there. You got to get the devils out of your own house. Spirit's talking about spirits. You got the spirits out your house. If you don't think spirits are real, just say, for example, you don't smoke. Go ahead. Just say you don't smoke. And you come into my house, and I'm smoking. But you don't smoke. Guess what the first thing you're going to do? Shoot. How many know what I'm talking about? It stinks. But we don't think it stinks because if we smoke, it don't stink. You know, I was going to pick a guy up. I wanted to pick him up, it was so cold. And I said, I got to pick the guy up. I'm going to give him some money, let him eat breakfast. First thing he turned around and did this. Oh, Lord, you just missed your ride. That's bad. You know why I said that? Because there's so much God want to do. But we won't yield our members. Yield your members to God. Because God want to use you for future glory. I'm telling you right now. You don't know what God has for us. I ain't even gotten there yet. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, I had not seen. Ear hath not heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Yea, the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. All this stuff God has for you, he can't do nothing until you renew your mind. My time is up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brothers, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you have received, and where you stand, by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory of what I preach to you, unless you have believed in vain. I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is what you must receive, for God can make sure that the blood goes in the house before the Spirit. My time is up, and I thank you for yours.
Thank you for listening to the Door of Faith Ministries podcast. I hope this message was a blessing to you, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode. If you're listening on iTunes, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. Also, be sure to find us online at www.mydooroffaith.org. That's www.mydooroffaith.org.